You know that song that we just sang? God will take care of you. When I read my Bible and I think of how God has taken care of man from the beginning, and I think of all the things that he did for Israel, for all the prophets and the early saints in history, and I think of the Apostle Paul, especially in the New Testament, I think these words could have been written by Paul. You know, you think about Paul and the things that he had gone through, and it's really hard not to believe that he would have thought words like this: God will take care of you. And he says, though every day or all the way, he will take care of you. And I want to begin tonight's lesson keeping that in mind. Let's go over to the book of Ephesians, or 2 Timothy, rather. We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at a few scriptures here. Think about this. We probably all felt abandoned, forsaken, left alone. I think that's something that everyone goes through at some point in their lives. There's times when it just feels really dark, like in this song. Times when we feel like maybe it's just too hard. I can't bear this alone anymore. And when we think about the Apostle Paul and the things that he's teaching Timothy in this text, we got to be able to lift ourselves up and really see in context what Paul wants us to know through his teaching to Timothy. We think about what he wrote in verse 6, which will be our closing verse. For I am ready, being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearance. So I want you to think about being alone. When the Apostle Paul was writing this to Timothy, he was telling Timothy about an experience, about a time when he's going to be judged, tried. He had to give a defense of himself. And I think about Paul and all the friends that Paul had. And in Romans here in chapter 8, he says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. He's got, when he says you all, imagine how many that is. In fact, when you look a little further in Romans chapter 16, verses 3 through 15, Paul says, greet Priscilla, Aquila, fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, whom I only give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles likewise greet the church that is in their home or their house. Lots of people are his friends. Greet my beloved Epaphras, and who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who were also in Christ before me. Greet Amphilius and my beloved Lord. Greet Urbanus and a fellow worker in Christ, and Stachius, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved of Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian and the countrymen. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Lots of friends. And then, Tryphena, Tryphosa, we're greeting them. Persis, again, a friend. Greet Asyncrius, Phlegion, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philogus and Junias and Nereus and sisters Olympus and all the saints who are with them. Lots of friends, 28 by name, and that doesn't count all those who were with him, all those churches, all the people that were in households, the families. It had to be hundreds of friends. And now Paul's going to be on trial. He's going to have to give a defense of himself. And what happened? Well, he says, be diligent to come to me quickly. For, and look at the names, Demas, Crescens, Titus. Those people were his friends. But what happened? Alexander, Demas disappeared. When Paul was being tried, Titus disappeared. Alexander disappeared. Then Paul said, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. Sometimes we have that. The best friends in the world will walk away from us. Our, you know, the people that we know the best, brethren in the church, turn their back because of... And listen, with Paul, he says that he's giving his first defense and no one stood with me. And there might be a reason why they forsook him. Now remember, this is the first century. Remember that Christians are hated by most and that Christians are being persecuted. And they know that if they stood up with Paul in front of all those people, that they would be known as Christians. They would be known as followers of Christ. So you kind of want to give them a little bit of leeway. But they forsook Paul. And it isn't just Paul. Because they also forsook Jesus when Jesus was taken away to be tried. Remember in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 33, you know, Peter, he's always positive. I'm never going to forsake you. And he says Jesus made a prophetic statement that they're all going to be scattered. The shepherd is going to be taken. The sheep are going to be scattered. And they're going to forsake him. And Peter says, you know, even if everybody denies you, if everybody forsakes you, I'll never do that. And what happened? He denied him. And so we realized that this is what the people did. And they did it, as we mentioned this morning in our Bible lesson, out of fear. So, may it not be charged against them, Paul said. He's talking about all these friends that have forsaken him, left him all alone to stand before the judges. And he says, let them not be charged. May it not be charged against them. He's doing what Jesus taught, forgiving them. We know Jesus did that on the cross. We know that Jesus taught that in Luke 17, forgive them 7 times 7. And so Paul's just following an example. Realize what Paul's doing. He's teaching Timothy that in the future, you're going to be out and you're going to face the judges. You're going to be tried by the world, and there's a good possibility people will just forget all about you. They're going to turn their backs. They'll forsake you. You're going to feel like you're all alone. And he's also teaching us the same thing. He's teaching us, this is what can happen when you walk with Christ. And so, you think about all that Paul went through in his life. Right? All the persecution of the Jews, the trials that he faced, the being shipwrecked and without food and naked in peril in the sea, receiving lashes from the Jews, 40 minus 1, being stoned and left for dead. You know, it's not so bad when the people that hate you turn against you. That's bearable. I don't mind being threatened or beaten or hated by people, but it really hurts when the people that you know you love and that love you forsake you out of fear. Whatever the choice may be. I think that hurts a lot more. And Paul's preparing Timothy. You walk in Christ and you're going to be facing these trials. And there are times when you're going to feel like you're just abandoned by him. Nobody cares. And you need to forgive those people. You need to realize they did that to Jesus and he forgave them. And then he says, I'm all alone. I'm in a very dark place. And he's telling Timothy, but what does he tell him? But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. That's what he's promised to do for all of us. The Lord was with Paul. He wasn't alone at that trial. Jesus Christ was with him in the Spirit the whole time. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. That's what he's telling Timothy. That's what he's telling us. No matter what happens in your lifetime, no matter how bad it seems to get, God is with you. You know, we sang that song. And that's what he's teaching us. You're never alone. Remember what Jesus said, let your conduct be without covetous, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear. What can man do to me? That's a lesson for us all. And it is a parallel to what he's teaching Timothy here. Timothy's going to go out in the world. Paul is teaching Timothy through his own experience. He's telling you, this is what happened to me. It's going to happen to you. And you just need to realize the Lord will be with you no matter what happens. You know, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Who more than Paul to write that? All the things that he experienced. He set up churches in Galatia, and this hardly after they were set up, they're listening to Jewish Judaizers who were trying to change and introduce the old law, and he's got to fight with them. And then he has all his friends that forsook him when he withstood this trial. And yet Paul says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. He told the Corinthians in the first book of Corinthians, in the first chapter, that when I am weak, then I am strong. Why? Because God, when he's weak, he's depending on the Lord for his strength. And so Paul says that message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear. That's why Jesus is always with us. He's why he wants us to be successful. He doesn't want us to fear men. He doesn't want you to ever feel like you're alone. He's there. And he wants you to have that ability to share the good news with the world. That's what he did for Paul. And Paul's telling Timothy the same thing. So the Lord stood with him. Paul says, I was also delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work, preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so there's reasons why the Lord is with us. The Lord wants us to persevere. He wants us to overcome. He wants us to not fear man or what man can do to us. He wants us to be able to be successful spiritually. And he's telling us the reason. He was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. That's what we're here for. We mentioned it before. We're prepared people for a prepared place. And so as he's teaching him, we learn from Paul then through that statement that the Lord knows how to rescue. He knows how to take care of you. He understands. He's been tempted in all points just as we were, yet without sin. He's experienced that all from his time upon the earth. We think of the word Emmanuel, God with us. And he's always with us. Never leave us, never forsake us. And he knows how to rescue. Look at Daniel in the den of lions. Right? Daniel's really disobeying the king, and yet he's obeying the king. Small K, capital K. And as a result of all the satraps and all the little rules that the people put up, and Daniel praying as it was his custom, Daniel's cast into the den of lions. And then the next day, they hear Daniel calling out from him within that den. and they remove the seal. And what do they find? Lions over here, Daniel's over there. The Lord delivered Daniel. And the king was changed because of that deliverance. And so we learn from that. You know, when the Apostle Paul was shipwrecked on the island of Malta, that was an amazing thing. God delivered him because he agreed with God. He kept God. He told the people, you know, don't jump overboard. You can get rid of all this and that, but God's going to save us. Just don't jump overboard. And he did. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They didn't yield to the king's orders. The king gets this furnace up 7 times hotter than normal. They're going to throw them into that furnace. All because they said, you know, we're going to obey God, not you. They were delivered. When they came out, the king saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and then he saw a fourth. Jesus was with them. Jesus, of course, saved them. What about David? In Psalm 34 and 4, David says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. How often was David being chased and they sought his life and he had to escape from place to place to place. He knew what it meant. He also said, I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined to me. He heard and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the mire clay, and set my feet upon the rock and established my steps. God was with David. God is with you. He will do the same thing. There's nothing wrong or unparalleled here with what the Apostle Paul is teaching Timothy. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, and my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. I shall be saved from my enemy. So shall I be saved. That sounds like a song, right? We've sung that song. Can we associate that song with David? And all the things that David went through, all the persecution, all the running around, being chased by Saul. We can think about the words of David, about the Lord being his rock. And that, of course, for us is Jesus Christ. So you think about these things and figure out what Paul's teaching Timothy and what he's teaching us today. From this scripture. First of all, the Apostle Paul's teaching Timothy from his own experience. We can do that. We do that, you know, so if we're parents, we try to teach our children from our own experience. I was your age once. I did those things. I experienced that. Paul's doing that to his son in the spirit, Timothy. And he's telling Timothy, you know, I suffered shipwreck. I went through trials and tribulations. I was hated by the Jews. I was beaten by the Jews. They hated the message that I was bringing. He's telling that to Timothy because Timothy may be having to face the same things, and you can do it. Because the Lord was with me, he'll be with you. What kind of troubles do we have in our life? What kind of dark places are we in? And we realize Jesus is always with us. That can brighten up that dark place. So Paul's teaching him from experience. And then Paul's also teaching him you have to stand steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. He's telling Timothy that you have to preach the truth. He says that in the opening part of this letter. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and teaching. And he's telling him that the day will come, or the time will come, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Warning. You need to defend the truth, no matter what happens. You know, the opening verse that we read, that we'll read once again when we close, is telling us that Paul endured all those things. It didn't matter what happened in this world. It doesn't matter what's happening to the flesh. He knew as well as we do the Lord is with him, and that the goal is heaven. If we keep our eyes focused on heaven, then we don't need to fear anyone. And we know that the Lord is with us. When we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him, with Jesus Christ, with God the Father, and with one another. He's also telling the people that will forsake you. It's obvious. You know, it's a shameful thing that in the world we can say one little thing wrong and make an enemy of a lifelong friend. I had the best friend in my life. His name was Jimmy R. We were together all the time. We did everything together, sleepovers, camping, Boy Scouts, explorers. It was just me and Jimmy. Jimmy lived in his own house. And I always visited Jimmy. One day I knocked on Jimmy's door. This was before I was a Christian. I got to qualify this. I knocked on his door and he said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I came to visit." He says, "Well, call next time before you come." He had people there. I never talked to Jimmy again. It's the truth. I tried to talk to him one time after I became a Christian, but he wouldn't talk to me. A little tiny thing like that separated me from somebody that was my best friend. Thank the Lord that the Lord is always with us, and we'll never be able to separate him from something like that. But people will forsake you for silly reasons, and in this context, probably out of fear of being tried and persecuted, as Paul was. You look at Paul's life and they go, "Boy, I don't want to be next to him when they start digging in and asking questions, when he has to give a defense." But Paul did. And the bottom line is that he's teaching him God will always be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And he tells us, finally, the goal of our life is to be in heaven one day, to make it to heaven. We can't take our eyes off of the goal. We can't take our eyes off of the prize. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who endure temptation, for when they are tried, they shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him." Through his word, through his apostles. So, God is always with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Paul's making that very clear. And your goal needs to be eternal life. You can't let anything in this world get between you and your goal. And so those are the lessons that Paul's teaching. And in verse 6, he does say, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight and I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not me only, but also to all who have loved his appearance. Let's keep that all in mind. You're never alone. You're never forsaken, no matter what happens physically in this world. God is always with you. You can always cast all your cares upon him. You can always call upon him. You can lean upon him, and he's always there. And that, of course, is under the assumption that you are a member of the body of Christ. And if you are a member of the body of Christ, these things should be held tightly in your heart. They give you strength. That's how we are able to endure the hardships of life. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, it's a good time to become a member Think of all the benefits. Jesus, the Creator, the one who has the power over life and death, the one who gave us victory over sin and eternal life through His blood. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, we extend an invitation to come and be baptized to remove the sins of your life through the blood of Christ, to be added to the body of Christ, to become a Christian, and in that process, be part of the kingdom that will be delivered one day up into heaven, and all else will be destroyed. If you have a need this night, please come forward.